for being here. I'm happy to see you all. I'm beginning to know all your faces. So if you're absent, I'll know you. Have to call you down. Let's begin back in the book of John in chapter 6 in verse number 16. That is the title of his message. And then my brother, it may be helpful if you have it like this. It depends as to what you see with your own eye. Because I'm not all that fat, but I have broad shoulders. It's the title of this message is Walking on the Sea. And it talks about the power and the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll see other things in this text that will bring us unto the gospel and unto Christ himself. But let's start our reading in verse number 16 through verse number 19. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and they got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark. And Jesus had not come unto them. It's a message there. As you're reading these texts and you see them and they apply unto the gospel, even as I was reading just before prayer, I was seeing things I hadn't seen before. These texts, they leap out and they speak to you. And I want to exhort you that your Bible is sufficient. And extracting things out of the Word of God is sufficient. Is I had a problem, and I went back over my message I preached. It was a year ago plus. I was in Lagos, and I had just flown back from the U.S. And I was preaching through the book of Ephesians. And so I got into chapter 6. And so I was supposed to be speaking at a brother's home. And he had invited in some people. And I remember thinking, oh man, this text? How am I going to preach this text? These people are expecting a big message of Christ, and I want to preach a big message of Christ. And this text is talking about children, love your parents, and about servants, about the workers being honorable unto their bosses and employers. It's the employee and the employer relationship. And I'm thinking, how can I preach this gospel from this text and give these people what some of them are going to be traveling an hour just to listen to? And I thought about it this afternoon as I was analyzing scripture this morning, that as I went back into that text and saw it was exactly the message that those people needed. And if I had preached it more confidently, even more boldly, if I had seen Christ more clearly in the text, instead of trying to preach something into the text, but take my preaching out of the text, right? That text, it would have brought God glory, and it would have been exactly what those people needed, is to be hard workers, is to have their children to obey their parents in the Lord, is to have fathers understand how to discipline their children in love. And I know that group of people, is I know that house, and I know that now that it is exactly what was needed. And so what I'm saying is that all texts of Scripture are God approved. They all have a gospel. And if you understand the text and just try to preach the text, it will apply unto the people as you see our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's there. And so often, if we don't think he's there, is we try to add things in order to make him visible. That's not preaching the word. Or we just leave him out. And the problem is our own eyes and our own lack of confidence in God's word, the gospel, that's in every text of Scripture, or we are preaching law that condemns. So be confident in your Bible. And as I'm growing as a preacher, I'm growing in confidence in my Bible, in the written word of God, that it has power sufficient. And if I can see it, if I study it, if I analyze it, if I look unto it, with the gospel in my own heart and mind, with a nearness unto God, with the confidence in God's word, and preaching it exactly as it is, it will do stuff with power. It will work in God's people. It will feed the sheep, because there is a lot of grass in the Bible, the word of God. And he makes us to lie down in green pastures. So it was already dark and Jesus had not come to them. That's a gospel message of the terrors of the law, of the fears of sin, of the guilt of a conscience. And if you want to preach Christ from only one verse of Scripture, that's fine. That's what Charles Spurgeon did, Mr. George Whitfield, and these are the greatest preachers in the English language. I just feel more comfortable preaching on a passage, because the Bible talks for me. And I don't feel like I have to make up so many stuff, or that I will run out of things that I can say. It's all right here, and it's in front of me, and it's my natural way of preaching. What's yours? Is it a verse? That's a couple verses? Is it a whole passage? A whole chapter? It's hard to do, but it can be done. I preached, as to one of my first sermons, I was out preaching. It was at a conference in this place called Oregon. I preached on the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. And it was one of the best sermons I've ever preached in my life. And I just would speak for just a couple of minutes on each of these portions of Scripture up through those 39 verses, and I probably did it in about 50 minutes. And it was one of my best sermons. It's the word was preaching itself, and I was just adding in a little just to let the people see what God is saying. I didn't have a lot of stories, an excellent speech, just opening up the word of God. So whatever works best for you, use it. But make sure that you get the gospel out of the text of Scripture and have confidence in the word. Not yourself, not your ability as a preacher, but the word of God opened up and explained. It will do with great power what God has sent it to do. It will quicken, it will cut, stab, it will open the heart, it will put Christ in by the power of the Holy Spirit with the gifts that you have. So, verse number 18, that was just introduction and exhortation. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. All the troubles, all of the difficulties of life. And so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, I don't know what that says, I mean, your translation, often in the original, it's in the Greek or the Hebrew. Those, even those things have a spiritual meaning as you see them in other places in Scripture. But don't make too much out of it. Don't try to be clever. Is I know people who were, and I was among them as an unsaved man, but they worshiped their cleverness with the Bible. And to really, it's to be able to see things that nobody else can see, and to be interesting and to be clever with Scripture. That's not the gospel. I'm not worshiping Bible interpretation. I'm worshiping Christ Jesus. I want to see Christ in the text in the way that it's obvious. As the brother was speaking to me, and we had to leave and we got split up, and he was analyzing about those 12 loaves, and I could hardly hear him. Not because he wasn't right, is I would have to occupy my thought, but even as he's saying it, I still can't see it. So that doesn't bother me. I don't have to see everything that's in the text and preach on every individual word and make everything mean something. I don't have to idolize my Bible knowledge and as to what I can see. I want to preach Christ from the Scripture and see Him to feed my soul. Not to be clever. My soul. And then pass it unto the people. This isn't about being clever. It isn't about being seen at all. It's about preaching and opening the word. And when it speaks unto you, then you speak it unto people because it's obvious that's what the Scripture is teaching. And you can prove it in other texts and in the text itself. But they saw Jesus, and he's walking on the sea, verse 19. And drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. And the reason why, they didn't know as to who he was. But the first thing that I want to say in this gospel message is that Jesus has all power. He's walking on the sea. And me and you would be comforted if we knew that our Master and Lord has all power in His hands and He's the Savior of our soul. Now, an all-powerful God without a mediator and His shed blood is an atrocious thing unto the human mind. It is scary and incomprehensible that I have to deal with this God who may send me to hell. As I remember, this was some years ago, I was watching a movie and I turned it on late, so I didn't understand all of it was about, but as I turned it on and began to watch it, is these people were at the bottom of the sea, and it's this big exploration, big vessel, stranded. And this little child's voice, he began to dominate them and to have power in his hands. And it was almost like this little god or this little demon. But the problem I had with it, which was so scary, if I put myself in that position, is imagine that it's a 5-year-old child and he's evil. And he has all power over you and to cause you pain, to hurt you, to kill you. That's a dreadful condition. You can't control him. You can't stop yourself from fearing. You're in hands that are out of control. He has the mentality of a 5-year-old and he can't be reasoned with. But that's not God. That's not our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us who God is. He shows us God as our mediator, as our blood-drenched Savior, as the one who went to the cross for our sins, as the one who chose us. If election is an arbitrary God, and I can't know if I'm in the kingdom, I just have to guess and wait until I die, that's a scary doctrine that I hate by nature. I can't help myself. But if election, and that's what they accuse us of saying, but that's not what the Bible teaches. But if election is for whoever believes, and all I have to do is to believe the gospel and know I have eternal life, I'm not furious with God's election and his absolute sovereign control, because I can trust him in our Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, God died for you. Why be scared of him having all power? He loves you and me with the love that is inexhaustible. It's irreplaceable. It will never stop loving you. Whatever God does is because he loves you. So if he hurts us, why did he do it? It's because he loves us. And sometimes me and you need it, and we need the discipline. In Philippians 4, it tells us to make your requests known with thanksgiving. What do you mean with thanksgiving? Be thankful I've got Jesus Christ and I'm already saved. No matter what happens unto us in this world, we're saved. It is with his wisdom he does everything he does, whether he disappoints us or not. I'm thinking right now about my sister that's in the ministry, our sister Daisy Ini Oputa, is from Delta, is the co-founder of our foundation, and she's pretty excited about the gospel and about our work in the foundation, and she's working hard without salary right now, and she is helping a lot of people by organizing these messages and to be preached by interacting with these people all over Nigeria. She's like the woman at the well. But this past December, November-ish, into January, it was some things that came upon her soul that were very traumatic. And she lost something she thought was hers that she thought she really wanted. And it hurt her badly. And I had to watch her squirm and wiggle and get mad at God by acting out towards me and towards other people. And I did not know if our relationship was going to stand. And this person is like my best friend in Nigeria. And then at that time, I was actually interacting with this other young lady, and I thought that I might be losing that too on the same day. But the peace I had was I still had God. And the peace that Adaisy has now, after this thing has been ripped from her, is to see that I don't even need it. And what God does is best. He's always righteous. And He's my hope. He's my strength. He's my comfort. Not this stuff. And it had to be taken away to build her up, to build up her faith in Christ Jesus and make her a stronger Christian, so now she's able to minister. Because our mission, our ministry, our foundation, it isn't only to make money with some businesses, it's to minister unto people's souls. It's ministry. If we wanted to make money, I would not be doing this. I'd be back home. It's ministry. But she needs her heart to be tender. She needs to hurt. She needed to hurt. She needed to have it ripped out of her heart and replaced with God. And I've been there. I needed it unto be bowed down. I needed to be broken. I needed unto be chastised. I needed to see that the law of God is too hot to handle. Don't touch it. Go unto the gospel quickly and stay there. I needed it. All my disappointments, all of our pain, all of our losses. Shucks. Even the current situation in Nigeria is needed unto bring some of you unto Christ. Because if everything was well, you wouldn't be here. If Adaisy had everything well, as to when I was first preaching the gospel in that prison, she wouldn't have heard me because he wouldn't have been there. Or everything, it would have been working in her life, and she would have thought, oh, this man's a fool. But since she had been stripped of her false religion, and she had had a dream that this missionary, but in the dream it was a white man, is outside of the village in this small hut. What the dream was actually telling her is not that I'm coming, but that she knew that the religion that she had been involved with is false, that we have drifted far off from what the old missionaries brought us and they died for in the gospel, and we're preaching health, wealth, and prosperity. Everything is about money and miracles. And she knows innately that's wrong, but she can't figure out a way out of it. And so when I came preaching not lies, but the gospel itself, it gravitated inside her heart. She needed to struggle and to lose her business and her big position. And she may get that stuff all back, but if she does, it's for the gospel and the glory of God now. It had to be taken away. It had to hurt. Our Father knows what's best. That's an old TV show back home. Father Knows Best. Oh, it's in the 50s. It's a rare word now back there. But it's still true with our God. Whatever He does, In Philippians 4, as I referred unto it, but let's take a look at verse number 6 and verse number 7. Be anxious for nothing. Our God's in total control. He rules this world. He's in charge of heaven and hell. He walks upon the sea. Our Redeemer, our Mediator, our Savior is in charge of the thoughts of the demons. He rules over the good and the evil. He's in charge of if we are hurting or if I'm happy. He's in charge of the storm. That storm had no power over Jesus. He had power over the storm. And he has power over all things that you and I will go through and all of our people as we preach unto them the gospel, and we want them to trust this blessed God. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4, 6, but in everything by prayer and pleading, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What do you have to be thankful about and happy about no matter what? The salvation of your soul. The goodness and the wisdom of God. The love of God, which nothing can take you away from. He never acts out of love if he's acting for God's people. He never acts out of character. He cannot do anything except it's in love unto his people because he's covenanted. And he gave us his son to prove that. He will never be unloving in anything he does, in any thought he has, from everlasting. He predestined our steps to glorification. He predestined us to glorification. That means his original plan A with us, which can never be altered, is our salvation and eternal inheritance. And we're only in this world for a few days and moments, and then it's over. And then we're in paradise forever because he loved us. Don't you think this God that would love you so much as to give us his son and bring us to paradise when so many will be in hell? There are so many Esaus and so few Jacobs. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a remnant, everything would be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. He chose you. So how can he do anything? Even when he's spanking our backside in chastisement, it's the greatest act of love. Because the wicked are not so. They are bastards that don't get chastised unto Jesus Christ. And he lets them just get fattened for the slaughter. Oh, read Psalm number 73. I was envious of the wicked until I saw their end. He has set them on slippery slopes, and their foot will slide in due time. He will awake and mock them. He will execute his vengeance and slaughter them. But I'm chastened all of the day. Thank you, bless God. And if we looked at Christ more in love, this would be a happier life. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. If it's the best thing for us, he will change our mind about things, or he'll change our circumstances. If I need a wife, he'll give me one. But if I need contentment, which is something better, he'll give me that too. He can never do anything wrong. Let your request be made known. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you need a car, you need a house, you need some shelter, you need clothing, you have a sick child. Let your request be made known unto God. You have the permission from the Bible, but do it with thanksgiving at what you already have and at who God is. And look at the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you will get this. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace is coming. That thing you want may or may not come. It depends upon God's will. But that peace is coming. It may be the best thing for that wife to keep on bothering that godly husband and make him a better preacher. Make him have some compassion. Mr. Charles Spurgeon, he was in bodily pain until he died. Had to leave his pulpit each year for weeks or months just to go into a place that had a better climate. He had gout. And it feels like you're being poisoned in your veins. And he would weep and cry. Plus he had mental anguish and depression. But that's what made him a tender-hearted preacher. Or his own brilliance. It would have carried him off, and he wouldn't have been useful unto people. He'd just be talking. Even Paul said, it was given unto me, what? A thorn in the flesh, what? The messenger of Satan. Why? Well, lest I be exalted because of all of these revelations, if I get proud, I can't preach into anybody's heart. I have no compassion. I couldn't care less about you. It's just all my knowledge and me, and I'm fine. And if you're not okay, that's just too bad. But being humbled and crumpled and broken and having to beg his bread from God, it made him able to minister unto people and to write from his heart. So don't be ashamed of your troubles. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not on trial. He's passed his trials. He's risen from the dead. He proved himself utterly faithful. Now believe God. He sits upon the storm in the Old Testament. And he rides upon the storm in the New Testament with the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ to prove all our storms, all our trials are under his control. Isn't that comforting? That's how we got to preach the gospel unto our people. Yes, tell them the hope in God and ask him and make requests known. You have freedom, but relax now. And believe on him no matter what happens. Because Father knows best. Always does. Always will. And then there is something that happens as we receive this gospel into our hearts. Let's go back, please, into the book of John. In chapter number 6. Now, as I was saying earlier, is you can preach a whole gospel sermon on that text, him walking on the water. And you got your points, you have your notes, either you use notes or you read or you don't, but that text has enough juice unto get it into your people and send them home happy and comforted. But here's another part of it. It says, and they were afraid, then verse number 20, but he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. That's what I've been talking about. Don't be afraid. Relax. But look at verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and it's a miracle. And immediately the boat, it was at the land where they were going. In other passages, the sea was instantly made calm. If you know anything about sailing or being out on the water of the ocean, even if the winds stop, it will take hours in order for the sea to calm down. But when he spoke and said, "Peace be still," it just sat down like a little baby and took a nap. But this text says that immediately as the boat was at the land where they were going, they reached their safe haven. Let's have another look in the book of Psalms 107. They were at their destination. It's in Psalms 107. I'll start my reading at verse number 23, and we'll pick it up around verse 27. It says that those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind. He does it. Which lifts up the waves of the sea, he causes the storm. He may use the devil as his instrument. It's the devil may be in a man's wife, but he caused her to be there in that condition. And the devil may be in a man himself, and it's the wife. Is the wife might have to flee the home for her safety. But he causes that man to be in that condition because he controls all things, even the devil himself, right? That's the book of Job, that the devil had to ask and get permission to torment one of God's servants. And so the devil is always asking permission in his own way, because he can't do anything unless it fits into God's sovereign will. Verse number 26, they mount up to the heavens. They go down again unto the depths. That's a depressed soul. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Have you ever been there? I have. What is going to happen to me? How am I going to be saved? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to have fellowship with God or peace or destroy this sin? Then they cry out unto the Lord in their trouble. That's why he brings it. And he brings them out of their distresses, saves them. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. There's peace. There's calm in the soul. So he guides them to their desired haven. He makes them to immediately be at the place of peace once he comforts them by the gospel. Oh, that men would give thanks. That portion of scripture in Philippians 4 said, make your request known with thanksgiving. Then what was going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. How can I be at peace in this situation? It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. How can I be at peace in Nigeria in the midst of all this turmoil? It's in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks in every circumstance. And the peace of God will touch your heart. See Christ. See the goodness of God. No matter what's happening, there will be peace. And that's what happened as they received him into the boat. They didn't just hear the gospel. Oh, that's Jesus. Yeah, that's nice. I'm going to keep struggling. No. He, Master, come on in. And in other texts, you see that Peter was out there walking on the water too. I can do this too if I keep my eyes on Jesus and don't begin to look at the troubles, but look at the Savior, the sovereign God. But that peace is going to come into our hearts. And people are going to say, where did you get that from? How does he preach like that? I know what he's going through. All the problems in this church, and he's standing up there in love with us, and he's preaching the gospel and encouraging us. Paul was in prison encouraging other people, be happy, be content, rejoice in the Lord always. Where are you writing from, Paul? In jail. But I don't think that they're going to cut my head off, because I think that I still got some ministry here with you guys. And so for your sakes, I'm willing to stay, even though I would rather to depart and to be with Jesus. Wouldn't you? That situation? But Paul said, I got peace from my gospel, and so I can share it. And the brethren are not complaining in the New Testament scriptures after they've seen Jesus and the resurrection and Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They counted it an honor just to be beaten for his name's sake. That's the power of a gospel. Supernatural power. Peace, joy, contentment, hope. Courage, boldness, assurance, kindness, love starts to come out of us. A supernatural God has produced fruit by the gospel in the storm as the fruit, as the gospel is believed. And then the storm is over. And you may have the trial on the outside, but it ain't on the inside. Your boat might still be in the water, but there isn't any water in your boat now. Peace and satisfaction and joy and compassion and love and goodness and hope start flowing out of you. Because you received Jesus and you took the gospel into your heart. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 8, is everyone seeing as to what I'm saying? Is you're hearing me? Is you're receiving this, and that's the application that you want to tell your people. You have to receive Christ. You can't just know doctrine. You can't just hear truth. You have to live by the gospel. It has to be a reality unto you. You can hear the doctrine of the forgiveness of sins and still not be comforted. I was at a conference as a younger man, and I had sinned, and the pastor came preaching. It was old Henry Mahan. And I remember he's standing there and he's preaching the gospel in the way an old man does. He's an old white man, he's just slow, but he's just preaching the gospel, text to text. He's talking about Christ. He's got rest and assurance. And I'm in my seat saying, but my sin, but my sin. Until finally, almost at the end of the sermon, he said something that he probably had already hit on, and he just said it in passing. But I stopped saying, but. And I said, I'm saved. Because of the grace of Christ. and because of faith in Christ and because of the blood of Christ. It has nothing to do with how bad is my sin. How precious is the blood of Jesus. That's the gospel. All day and night. And in the book, it's in the book of Romans 8. As it says this here. Verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, us whom he has chosen and predestined, us whom he has foreknown and predestinated and justified, called and glorified? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, is that going to make God stop loving us? As it is written, for your sake, and he's quoting from Psalm number 44, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. There's trouble here, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's a horrible, and that's a hard condition. However, but, nay, yet in all these things that happen unto us, we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. And when he puts it in the past tense, he's talking about he gave us his son and killed. He spared not his son for us. Our sins were laid on him and punished in full. And we're forgiven and we're heaven bound and we're loved with an inextinguishable love. An irreplaceable, just a love that can't stop. So I'm persuaded. As you see how he confronts all these things that make us doubt, and he says, no way, buddy. That won't stop God from loving me and you. That's receiving Christ into the boat. These things are happening. I have my doubts. I have my fears. I have my trials. I have my struggles. I have my needs. And I've got Jesus Christ. Now, they have to bow down. And they have to be still. Because Christ is greater. Not only does he walk on the storm, he gets into our boat. Into our little heart. And we're saved. Being saved is the greatest thing in all of the world. To have a relationship with God Almighty himself. To be able to access God in prayer. To be forgiven. To have hope and peace and joy that is not in bondage unto my circumstances. Oh, it's surprisingly, and it's sad. It's a lot of people in Nigeria who claimed this gospel I'm preaching, I'm at least in part, didn't want me here. They thought I would steal their shine. And so they told me, you can't be happy here. It's the pastor told me, I'm going to show you what it's like to be homeless in Lagos. It was kind of fun, actually. It was really one of the best memories I've ever had in all my time here and in all my life. I'm really happy I went through it. I'm glad the trial came because God was my comfort. I was obeying him. That's why I was homeless. Who cares what happens under this body? If our relationship with God is real and he's in our boat, that storm it can do nothing. It's quiet. Shut up, storm. I've got Jesus Christ in my heart by faith. And I know that's assurance, confidence, boldness in God. This is our right. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Tell that unto your people, and they will live. that they will be leaving the building bold and assured and serving God more than ever if they got it in their heart by faith. If it's only in their ears, if they're only hearing it, but they're not actually receiving Him, that storm, it continues and it will have flesh, is going to act like flesh. But if they get Christ Jesus, they are a transformed people. We are more than conquerors through Him who